लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today, finally again, an actress after a lot of men. Now we are going back to the female ones. Yes. And I'm very happy to have her. And I say hello to Brittina Pirozzoli. Welcome to my podcast.
Hello. I feel welcome. We've talked about dogs and nature, so I'm happy.
We needed again, actress. I had a lot of men here lately, so I'm very happy to have you.
Balance out the energy.
Yeah, we have to do the, not the work-life balance, we have to do the actor-actress balance here a bit more. So, welcome, and first question I want to know from you, because I spoke, for example, with Abigail Stanton about it. We have also red hairs. Question. More the villain roles or more the normal lovey-dovey roles for you in the vertical space?
Oh, which ones do I play most of the
time?
Yeah,
which one did you get more because of your hair color? Because you tried to evaluate if the red hairs are getting more villain typecasted or not.
I have an extensive answer on this. But one, I've been playing just female leads, the romantic love interests, for like a year now, just consistently the lead female. When I started in verticals, I was the villain. Somebody I knew who was a director at USC, she became a producer in verticals, and they were looking for a red-headed actress to play a witch in one of the werewolf verticals. And so, and it's funny because they're specific, like there is a trend seeing redheads as saucy, spicy, evil, sexy, seductive, you know, things that they put as a villain. And so that's how I got in, is they needed a redhead. I did the audition. I like really dug into it, had a good time. And then I played the exact same character again, which was a different witch villain in a different werewolf drama. And then then I played the best friend in one, so that's nice. I wasn't evil. And then there was a producer at Real Short who just loved me and wanted to give me an audition for a lead who had a bit of strength to her. Like, she was raised by con artists, but she felt like she had no future, so she was just working hard to help her brother get out of that situation. And she, like, you know, she can slip her own handcuffs and whatnot, stuff like that. And I did that audition, and the chemistry read apparently is what really sold it. And I got cast, and that was my first lead, and that was Runaway Princess Bride.
With Luke Charles Stafford, right?
Yeah.
I love this one. It was at that time, it was such a fresh storyline. Oh, crap. We were all grieving for that one. I know.
That's the whole energy that everybody had around this project, is, okay, we've got a female character who can be like sassy, who can sort of stand up for herself, who fights back. And we have a male lead who isn't like grabbing her or shoving her around, who, like, he wants to come rescue her, but then finds out that she, you know, like I said, like, she's like, oh, I've already slipped my handcuffs. We had so much fun, and the cinematography on that one was pretty nice. It looked really
good. It was really great produced, really,
But to be honest, it was, when was it published? At the middle of 2024, I think, was it?
Yes.
It was a 2024 storyline because I started watching Verticals in summer 2023. And I'm doing with the big review ladies every month a monthly recap episode for the podcast. And we lately talked about that the storylines in 2023, 2024 were much more, Aline from I Love Vertical called it always cozier, than the later storylines, which were so full of abuse, violation, stuff like that. And you know, everyone we spoke about with, why did the storylines change so much to the negative side? They all were telling us, yeah, you know, because of the numbers, the people want to see it, blah, blah. But these storylines in 2024, especially the storylines like The Runaway Bride or also Breaking the Ice or stuff like that, they were so much more cozier and went also so well in the view numbers. So I don't understand it, why they need lately so much different or negative storylines, because that storyline in Runaway Bride, I loved it. It was so cozy one. And for me, it was so nice to see that the two leads are teamed up. You know what I mean? They were enriching each other and not one dominant, what one devote one. It was so great teamwork. And I love that. And I miss that, to be honest.
I agree with you and everyone who has that same opinion about the cozier, the more sort of well-balanced female lead, male lead, because, you know, I'm a modern woman. I'm a thinking, strong person. And sometimes you end up working a script that, and I always try to add a little bit of spunk to my characters. I try to make her a little bit smarter, a little bit funnier. And then sometimes I get notes saying, don't do that. Yeah, like sometimes the clients are like, we need you to
Don't be
soften.
so self-confident.
Yeah.
That's silly.
And
That's
it's hard,
really
you know,
silly.
it's hard to take that note or try to make her as real as possible, but you're also, you know, you're working on a larger project that you don't have as much control over. But there was one I was on where it was hard because my character just keeps being victimized over and over and over again. Honestly, there's a few that, you know, fall under this category. And I know the other vertical ladies I talked to, they've all done these roles where it's like there's five different men who are groping at me in different scenes. And always the male lead sort of steps in and is like, get your hands off her, or what are you doing? And then, of course, everyone's like, oh, I wasn't doing anything. And I'm like, can my character just slap him? Can my character like bite
Stands on
him?
their own. It's so always so tr told that a woman is always weak and cannot survive without a heroic man rescuing her. I hate that. I really hate that.
There's one where I do sort of, I yell at him, I yell at the male lead. I was like, look, you can't save me all the time, okay? I've got to look out for myself. And I'm like, oh, this is a good scene. Flip the page. I'm immediately being punished for that. I get hit over the head and kidnapped. And I'm like, all right. You know, I'm like, okay, we stood up for ourselves
But I
and
don't understand
still
why did that happen, that the stories got from so cozy, so shitty. I don't get it. I really don't get it.
there's a I have a couple of theories. I mean, what you said
Okay.
is very, very
Let's
true.
talk about the theories, because I
Yeah.
try to understand it, but I haven't got any answer yet.
What you said about getting audiences' attention, keeping them hooked, what's going to happen next, what people will click on, that anger, frustration, or shock value is just as valuable as positive reactions when it comes to, you know, engagement. That's all true. And so it's a system, but also I think there is a massive expansion of what I call the vertosphere. So there's so many more platforms are being made all the time. People who
Oh.
started out as actors in vertical dramas are now trying to have their own platforms, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And scripts are coming out faster and more frequently, and everybody's copying off of each other because even though it's not the first story, the last one was successful, so this one shall be too. I think just because of the sheer increase in mass is also why we're seeing a drop in quality.
But let me ask you one. Did you ever shoot for Candy Jar, Wiglu, or Drama Pops?
I've done Drama Box. I think very, I have a
Drama
good
Box
opinion.
or Drama Pops?
Oh, no, not Drama Pops. Drama Box.
Because Drama Pops put out so great quality in storylines every time. So well produced, so great stories, and also with Candy Jar, because every vertical which is published on Candy Jar is based on a book story, and that makes the vertical so qu high in quality. And on Drama Pops mostly publish all the shows which were shot in Istanbul or Lithuania or Ukraine, mostly Europe shows. And there is every time the quality so good and the storyline is so fresh and so comfort to watch it. And these are not so big platforms, but the quality is so good. And for example, Reelshot lately, they publish, I don't know, 6, 7 shows per week, but the quality is so
Don't say that. I had one that just came out. But
I know.
oh yes. But I
Haven't
will say,
watched it yet. I haven't
oh,
watched
this
it yet.
one, you know, there are a few of those things in the script that I know are like, well, that's a bit of a trope. But I think overall, something that, and Jackson and I talked about this, is he likes that his character is always good to me. Because it's hard sometimes you get a script and the male lead is not good
For
towards
60
the female
episodes.
lead, and
For
then
60
suddenly
episodes.
and they're expected to get together. Well, now I understand sort of like if we're doing a different story, like when I did Falling for My Ex's Mafia Dad, that dynamic lives in a different world. You know, I mean, like he's violent, he's never expected to fall in love with me, and what we have is sort of a power play dynamic. I think that made sense. But when it comes to the more like he's gonna earn my trust romances, it was nice that Confessions of a Vegas Showgirl had, he consistently was gentle and caring to earn my trust, which was a pr I appreciated that writing a lot.
You know, I don't have a problem if there is a bit of the classic tropes in a vertical. That's not a problem for me. But if you didn't even hit the paywall and there were, let's say, 50 slaps already without any reason, you know what I mean? Sometimes someone enters the room, slap. Huh? Why? Don't know. Just slapping, you know? And that's so unnecessary. I'm really curious about the private verticals because their kidnapping, raping make totally sense for the storyline. If the storyline needs kind of this classic vertical trope, I'm totally fine with it. But lately you had so many verticals where it didn't make any sense. What happened, you know? There was
You want there to be character motivation, like for it to happen.
It's if it serves the story, I'm totally fine with it. But if it's like a 50 episode banquet scene where just this one big question, is it really him or her, is the whole storyline, and everyone is yelling 60 episodes again each other, I'm out. Sorry, I'm out. I don't watch this anymore. No.
I have done one, and I now I'm avoiding them. Like I'll be sent a possible script, and I'll see exactly where it's going. But I avoid the ones now that are those three things. One, I was in one where there was just a circle of people slapping me in a line. And yeah, and the whole plot hinged on nobody figuring out my identity for most of the script. And it was just this constant recycling of, wait a minute, is she? She's a
No,
fraud.
fraud. No, it's her. Can it be her?
Can
Really?
it be her? And
Yeah.
then there's no way. And them just going over and over and over. And
Oh.
so it was that. It was that. And
Oh.
then also it was just like really, really violent. And so yeah, I did that once and I don't want to do it again. And I got an email for one that was a similar situation where it was gonna follow that blueprint. And I said, I'm just gonna respectfully pass on this project.
Yes, no,
So,
thank you.
but
Yeah.
sometimes you get really cool ones
What
though.
type of storyline attracts you to do a
Oh,
vertical?
yes. Okay. One, I love women that fight, that are smart, that that have their own strength. Yes, they can get in dangerous situations, okay? It happens to it, especially women that are smart and can fight and can think for themselves end up getting punished for it. That's a reality. So if it's in the
Yeah.
story, okay. I just, I want my reactions to be real. And so there is one. So Candy Jar, I also have a really good opinion of. I think their quality is, and it's beautiful, and the stories, like I would love to work on one of those. And
Everyone I spoke with who did one for Candy Jar was so proud of this production. Really, everyone said it was so good. The production team, the story, this whole vertical, I'm really proud of. And that's
I'm so happy to hear that.
so less that you heard this. You know, mostly of the actor or actress, it's a job. I get it. You have to pay rent, stuff like that. But everyone I talked to who was filming for Candy Jar is like, oh, I'm so deeply craving that I can shoot with them again. That was the best time ever. Or Drama Pops in Istanbul, for example.
Well, I think that also just says that they've experienced rougher situations on set. And so when you get a production company or you're on a project that is, well organized, things are handled properly, everybody's on top of their stuff and the script is good, everyone feels good about what they're making.
Yeah.
You appreciate it more. You know that that is like a little diamond that doesn't happen all the time. And so when you're so blown away, it's like you're just the gratitude you have is immense because you've also experienced the other type of set where you have to really look out for yourself and you have to be really patient because a lot can go wrong and a lot does go wrong. But even on those sets, I make lifelong friends. Like every set I'm on, there's always something to be thankful for. But when you get those special ones, it just shines and you'll never forget
And I think it's good for the motivation, isn't it? When you have a set where you're so happy that you can, because everyone wants to make something really special. I
Yeah.
think that's, you know, I don't want to say, okay, it's because the Europe vibe, but a lot of the European shot verticals are really good in quality. Have you ever watched the Ukrainian vertical?
No, I haven't. Is there that's Drama Pops?
No, the Ukraine. Yeah, they have a few on Drama Pops, but the main platform is MyDrama, where the Ukrainian are shown. And they are also great in quality of storyline, stuff like that. And if you think about that, they were shooting it in the middle of the war in Kiev. That's so crazy. But you see in the storylines and in the motivation of the actor, they are so burning for this. And to Candy Jar, for example, is based in Germany. So,
Oh,
yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, so a bit of European influence, maybe. And as I said lately, all the shows which were shot in Lithuania and Istanbul, I think Danny Farber shot at the end of last year the first one for good short in Istanbul. But normally all the Istanbul ones were published on Drama Pops. And everyone I spoke with, whoever were in Europe shooting, they said it was so good and shooting there. So have you ever shot outside from LA?
Yes. Sorry, I'm writing down notes now because
You could,
you're
you
saying
know, when this
LA.
episode is published, you can hear it over and over again. No problem.
Yes.
You can hear it on repeat. Deet.
getting paper and I'm like, okay, my drama
Yeah.
pops. We gotta come
On
on.
my drama, by the way, the pilot one will be published, which were shot lately from Nick Ritacco and Emma Reinagle.
Oh, okay. I want to
This
watch.
will
See, I love
drop
pirates.
on my drama.
I've been looking at sort of we're expanding genres now in the vertical sphere, and
Yeah,
I'm
hopefully.
so interested in this. Like, the vampire ones that are coming out, that's
But
exciting to me.
there were less vampires lately, wasn't it? I haven't
Well,
seen so many.
just hold on, because I know that there's one that they're shooting right now. That is
That's
going to
good.
come out.
Because I love the
And I'm
vampire
excited.
ones.
I love it because, like if there's a female vampire who's 1200 years old, she's gonna throw you across the room, She's powerful, she's ancient, she knows who she is. And if you're gonna be in her world, you need to step up, you need to be honest, and you need to be strong. And I'm very interested in that.
I'm sure you would be also interested. I spoke with Abigail Stanton that we should do a vertical with the Witch Club.
Yes, I'm
Six
drinking out of a
powerful
cauldron
witches.
now.
That's good. You're in the right mood. No, six powerful witches, maybe one male one
Why
also.
not?
But like a witch club. Everyone has another superpower and then they are together for. Yeah. I spoke with Abigail Stanton about it.
Well, I should speak with her about that too, because I agree. And the Western ones that are coming out, I love that we're doing like the Old West and pirates. Come on. Like, this is so exciting. This is so fun. The sets, the costumes, like we're hungry for this.
I hope that they are doing well, that they will be shot more in this
Yes, and
genre.
that depends on people watching them, people making their voices known.
I can tell you from the audience side, because I talk a lot to the audience people all over the world, that we are craving for this pirate ones. For the first one shot in Canada, and for the other one, which was lately shot in LA, for my drama, we are so waiting for that. I can tell you. And you know what genre we want to also see? Mystic, mysterious criminal cases. More
A
murder
noir.
mystery.
Yes.
Like
I actually
Sherlock
thought we're
Holmes and Miss Marple or stuff like that, detective ones, you know?
I gosh, I used to get movies from the library a lot growing up, and I would get like boxed sets of Miss Marple, boxed sets of Poirot, because they're addictive, they're so good. But of course, Agatha Christie was the best murder mystery
And
writer I think the
would
world
be
has ever
so
seen.
great for serial ones.
Yeah, because you could bring back the same detective.
Yeah, and every time a different case in a
Ace.
different country, maybe or shooting location.
I like the
I
way you
spoke
think.
that with Kirby Elwood already. We will
Oh,
do.
Kirby!
Yeah, we had a $1 million idea. I published it in the episode, so we need a sponsor. No, Kirby wants to shoot in Europe so badly. And I told her that I'm on it to get the verticals more here to Germany, because I did some acting stuff here too, so I know a few production companies. And you know, with Candy Jar is more willing to take risk for new storylines. And there are so many criminal cases as book stories where you can do a vertical out of it. And we spoke about doing six verticals, one in Italy, one in Istanbul, one in Lithuania, one in Germany, one in France and one in Scotland in the Highlands, you know, mystery, foggy Highlands.
Beautiful,
That's
gorgeous.
the plan. It just needs a lottery win from my side that I can fund all this stuff. And we want to give my dog a detective sniffing dog role in the vertical.
Oh. And your dog is still right there next to you, isn't he?
He's sleeping.
Yeah.
No, that's the plan, because I think, you know, we have enough billionaire CEO whatever storylines. We need more a bit, as you said, storylines which makes us what will happen next? You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. But I think it's happening. It's coming, which
Do
is
you have the
great.
feeling?
Well, I'm starting to see more, and some of my friends are doing more interesting plots, and some of the auditions coming my way. I'm like, oh, this is different.
Also comedy ones.
I don't know.
Because we want to have not so much drama anymore. More
Well,
rom-com style, you know, rom-coms, comedy. As I said, go back to the cozy ones, you know.
Yeah, like what happened to the rom-coms, like a Meg Ryan rom-com, right? Where a woman who's a bit of a mess, but she's doing fine, accidentally runs into someone that she doesn't like and then falls in love with him, you know?
That's it. Have you ever seen the movie with Tom Hanks?
You've Got Mail?
Yeah, that was a
Yeah.
great storyline. That would fit for vertical so good.
Yeah, that was so. My mom and I would watch these, and she had a copy of French Kiss with Kevin Kline. And oh my gosh, like I watch that at least once a year. I love that one.
Or
So,
Bridget Jones.
oh, Bridget Jones, a classic. And then, well, then you can move on to like Sandra Bullock, you know, While You Were Sleeping.
Or
So
maybe
good.
Pretty Woman would fit so well as a vertical.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what is it? Runaway Bride was Runaway Princess Bride. You know, like they did the same poster. So they're already there.
But I think that's a reason why it did so well.
For sure. And now, I mean, everyone keeps sending me whenever they're at the Real Short office, they're like, there you are. And they take a picture of it. And I'm like, yes,
Have you ever shot somewhere else, like LA?
So I've shot in LA and I've shot in Canada for verticals.
China?
No, I've not gone to China yet.
Okay.
I think I should. I haven't really auditioned for Chinese verticals in a minute. I've mostly been
Europe?
working.
Have you auditioned for Europe one?
I've auditioned for one that was shooting in the UK, and unfortunately, it didn't go to me, which was sad because I really wanted to go. I haven't been to England since I was in school, but. Yeah, I think the only places I've shot verticals are Los Angeles and Canada specifically.
Okay, to-do list 2026.
Yeah, no, and I have a lot of good travel gear now because I've traveled for other reasons. So I'm like ready to leave. But
So your passport is ready and you know
no, my passport. It's technically ready. Like, if in the next few months I needed to work outside of the country, I could. But the few months after that is when it gets dangerously close to the expiration. So I need to renew my passport.
Okay, so we have to do it quickly in the next month.
Yeah. Well, like if it in the next 3 months, if I were to work outside of the US, it's fine.
That's
But
good.
I'm gonna renew my passport before then.
That's great. Yeah, you never know when they are calling you. I mean, in the vertical space, everything is so last minute where you can
Oh
get
yeah.
roles. So
I had like a week's notice before I left for Vancouver. It was just like, oh, okay, I'm going to Canada next Thursday. Okay, I'll figure everything out. And it was great and beautiful.
How did you said the first two verticals you shot were werewolf ones, right? Being the
Except I was
witchy.
a witch in both. I was not a werewolf in either.
Okay, being a witchy and a werewolf ones. But did you know what verticals are when you enter the vertical space?
No.
Was
No,
it
I
kind
didn't.
of weird to hear all this alpha, beta, mate stuff?
It wasn't that weird, but it was
Okay.
more like they sent me. Well, I knew this producer because she had directed me in something else, and she sent me sort of the breakdown of the character, and their inspiration for her was Victoria from Twilight, which is classically a redheaded vampire. So it's like, okay, the only reason that she's thinking of me is this, but that's okay. I'm gonna kill it. I'm gonna kill this audition. And I got the part, and I didn't know what to expect. And our first shooting day was 2 hours away. And I picked up another actor because they asked me if I could carpool another actor. And I was like, okay, yeah, why not? So I picked up the other guy who's playing the male villain. So it's like two of us, like I'm the female villain, he's the male villain. And we got to know each other for 2 hours. And then we got to set. And because it was so far out and we were going to be shooting late at night, they're like, everyone is allowed to stay over at this mansion,
Okay.
and spend the night. And then we have like 2 days off, and then we pick up shooting in LA proper. And I had so much fun. And I made friends, and I'm like, that was great. Would love to do that again. And then they brought me on to their next project where I was very nearly the same type of character, except my role was bigger. It was more of a love triangle situation where I was like a third lead role in how much
What
involvement
was
I
the
had in
title of the second one? Do you know that?
the second one. They changed the title after release, so now it's Alpha Please Mark Me, whereas originally it was Alpha's Accidental Mate. And the idea was that I was the husband of the, or, no, I wasn't. I was the wife of the alpha. And I was brutally murdered. And so I'm gone. He's grieving, but the pack needs the alpha to have a new mate. And so there's this girl. She's so pure of heart. He's attracted to her. They bring her in, and then I miraculously reappear back from the dead. And everybody's like, wait, what? And I'm like, don't you still love me? I'm your wife. And I'm, but there's something going on. There's something up my sleeve. Turns out this whole time I've been a witch. I never died. It was fake. And I just want control. But they thought I was part of the werewolves because I was like magicking it. Anyways, but so I'm like very evolved and I'm two-faced and so it was a bigger role then. And then yeah, I just kept doing it. Like people knew who I was, they knew that I've worked on these before. I auditioned and I've just been consistently doing them and I'm
Don't you
having a good
have
time.
any problem with the space with the pace sometimes on set? Or was it from the beginning fine for you doing it
Oh
at
no, we
pace?
all. If you're a woman, and also if you're not in a lead role, the pay is very fluctuate. Like it's I was on one, I was trying to negotiate my own rate a little higher because at this point I was aware of how big the gap is between the female lead and the male lead. There are some sets now that are doing equal, and there are some sets now that are there was one I was on where I was paid more than the male lead because my role was bigger, even though in almost every vertical, the female lead role is massively bigger than the male role. The male still gets paid more because he's the hot commodity. He's
He
the big
attracts the
draw.
audience and he had to,
So from a business perspective,
I spoke with the director, Paige Kempton, about that, and she told me that it's also the same. She, as a female director, get paid less than a male director by doing exactly the same job. So, huh. And when you had done your first vertical, did you already know that the speed of the pages per day is so high, or was it kind of overwhelming how much you had to do in one day shooting?
No. Oh, I didn't know that it was gonna be that crazy, but also I was a supporting role as the villain, so it was a lot easier for me. I was very prepared. I had rehearsed my lines and my scenes, like I had a vision of how I wanted to approach it. We got in the room with Kyle, the villain, and we had like a really good scene together. And it felt normal, you know. This felt like, yeah, this is what it is. But when I started playing the female lead, that is a whole different ball game. Now, some of the villains, though, are written really large. Like my second role, my second villain, was big, almost like I was a lead, but still not as much as the female lead. But now playing the female lead, there's a certain amount of I need to take care of my body. You know, like I need to get a certain amount of sleep, and I need to take vitamins, and I need to like eat nourishing food because I need to have energy and be able to throw myself around all day. Because as the female lead, they need you. Everybody needs you at all times of day. So it's like hair and makeup needs you right now. Costumes need you right now. The director needs you right now. They want you on set right now, all at the same time. And so you stay calm, you do your job, you prepare, you know your lines, you'll get through it. And you're being paid hundreds of dollars less a day than the male lead who is resting somewhere. You know, like they have a lot of scenes where they get to take a break. They're still, it's demanding, especially in the looks department. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not demanding in the looks department for women too. It absolutely. But these vertical male leads, they have to be a certain height, they have to be a certain build. They're doing push-ups in actor holding. If they're shirtless, that shirtless scene better be before lunch, because sometimes production will put that shirtless scene after lunch and the male lead will
Yeah,
come
I
on.
was told that.
He won't eat lunch. And one time that happened on the set of Runaway Princess Bride, our like intimacy scenes where Luke had to be shirtless, that was pushed to after lunch, so he did not eat lunch, and I also did not eat lunch just in solidarity with the fact that he wasn't eating lunch. And anyways, there's just a lot. You have to take care of yourself to survive that long of a process, and you have to figure out that system. The male lead does get more breaks. The female lead usually doesn't get any breaks because the script is not balanced that way. You're basically in every scene. Sometimes there'll be like a scene with the villain that you're not in, and it's thrilling because you get to like go sit down and maybe change your costume a bit slower.
And you are what? I have time. Woo.
Yeah. So I learned that, and but the pay discrepancy was hard. There was one I was on, before I had management, and I negotiated my rate a little bit higher than they were asking. And they said, yeah, like no, that like just between you and me, that's the highest rate we have on the project. And I was like, oh, okay, you guys are like really low budget. They lied to me. Because they brought in the male lead and I asked him, I said, how much you make in a day? And it was several hundred more a day than me. Which is not the largest pay gap I've heard of at this point. So,
What keeps you still attracted to do verticals after
I'm
this
an
time
actor
now?
and I want to act. I love it. I need to do it. It's what I have to do. And I ultimately, you know, there was one vertical that was a really rough experience for everybody. But I'm still glad I did it because there are people I worked with on there that I love. And I love talking to them. We're like bonded through trauma now. And whenever we're like in the same city, because they're not in LA, but whenever we're in the same city, we link up, we want to see each other. We help each other with auditions. There's, I've made so many friends, like with directors, producers, gaffers, PAs, actors, makeup, hair and makeup people. And it's like, I love being connected with other artists because they are just like me. Like, we're all in the same boat. We're all in LA. We want to work. We want to make cool stuff. And we want to work with cool people. And so, through this vertical experience, we are making some really cool stuff. And we are working with some really cool people. And we're expanding our friendship network, our professional network. I see it as a huge positive and like a really big gift in my life and for my career.
What would be a role you would love to play in a vertical you haven't done yet?
A vampire, 100% a vampire. Like, come on. I would love to play a vampire so bad. But also, I'm very interested in like just like badass women, Like, if I could be a cowgirl, if I could be a spy, if I could be.
Can imagine you really great as a pirate lady.
Oh, heck yes. I have an outfit in my closet right now that would be perfect as a pirate. Hold on. No, I'm not kidding at
No, I don't know
all.
why, but I can really imagine you great in a pirate.
Well, doing theater, I've done sword and rapier, like rapier and dagger fighting, So I'm ready. Give me a sword or give me a pistol.
Give me a sword. All
Somebody give me support. And not
the female heroine, Brittany.
not like
Hee-haw!
the other prop weapons that I have right here.
Oh, do you have more?
No,
Okay, I see you prepared.
they're just they have this is where they live. They're just at my desk where I'm collapsing this katana again. My neighbor has a 3D printer and he made me this. So it's cool. Like it comes out.
That's good.
But I did this myself for a costume.
I see.
Anyway.
You are fine for
I'm ready.
Get Brittany the pirate one, please.
Just send me the script, you guys. Send me the script.
I love powerful women, really. As I said, I don't like it in the verticals when every time the woman is so weak that she had to get hooked up or pregnant that she can move in with the male one and got rescued because of that.
She gets kicked down the stairs, but I think people are victimized. Strong women are victimized. There is a way to have that happen in a story that isn't, that isn't pathetic. Like she's strong, but it's so she's vulnerable to certain things. That's possible. I like playing strong women that cover a deep vulnerability that they don't want anyone to see, because I think that's very interesting.
I
So.
don't like it when, every time when you see a partner or a relationship, a marriage or anything like that in a vertical, they never fight for the partner. There's always, what you cheated, okay, we get a divorce here, sign it, yeah, we divorced, okay, now I can go on, I move on. You know what I mean? I would love to see more a classic love story where they fight for each other and the marriage or the relationship, but it's not. I hate it that it's, yeah, she cheated. Oh, he cheated. Oh, yeah, I fell in love with him. Okay, that's fine. I'm divorced now and swoop right to the next one. Really? I'm divorced in real life, and I can tell you that you don't go move on the next day right into the next relationship. No one does that. Never, ever. And it's the same thing when you see how often women got pregnant in the vertical and how often they got told to get an abortion, as it's so easy to get rid of it, you know? I think that's the wrong sign a vertical is telling in that way. I don't like it, to be honest.
No, I'm right there with you. I think there's a, it's kind of the discourse that's going around and around about Wuthering Heights right now, the Wuthering Heights adaptation. And what you're saying is that these big, dramatic, and important events in people's lives are being just sort of flattened and simplified, and there's no complexity, there's no depth to the situation. It's just easy. It's just this or this and
Everything is
this.
so easy.
Yeah, like we're not exploring, this is gonna sound so, we're not exploring the human condition or the human mind or the human heart. Some of them are doing a great job. Some verticals are, and those become really popular and fan favorites. But a big majority are not.
It's the same when I see I had a heart surgery 2 years ago. A
Oh, wow.
classic in vertical urgent needed heart surgery. And when I see in a vertical that the people are 2 or 3 days later, they are totally fine again. Really? I fought ye 2 years to get back in a normal condition. No one can tell me that after a so-called urgent needed heart surgery or brain surgery, I also had a brain surgery with memory loss. No one can tell me that it's fixed when you fell down, hit your head, that you have all your memories back. No fucking way. So that's kind of ridiculous when I see the storylines. In another way, it triggers me a bit. But I would love to see. No, it's a wrong way to say more realistic
Uh-oh.
stories. That's
Sorry,
wrong.
I lost audio for a second.
Okay. No,
You'd
I
love to see
said I love to see more realistic stories. You know what I mean? Okay, verticals are not realistic in that way, but more down to earth story where the audience can more identify with, you know? For example, I was always wondering why there were only 4 or 5 verticals, which was with the story about some dating apps, you know, that people meet about in with dating apps, stuff like that, because that's so normal in the life, actually using dating apps to get to know each other, stuff like that. I didn't get it why it was so less in the stories and verticals used, for
I don't know.
example. Weird.
I think, I mean, you have this in incredibly, like dramatic health backstory that a lot of people have never experienced, and yet they're writing inaccurately these things into the scripts. Like, part of me is like, maybe you want to write. Do you should write.
Wait, I tell you a secret. I recorded with Teek Sadana. Do you know Teek Sadana? Vertical actor from New York, currently filming in LA.
Oh, I've not met him.
I recorded with him. The episode dropped a few days ago. And we spoke about my heart surgery stuff. And we already, he said to me, yeah, you have to write that story down and then we will make a vertical because it would fit perfectly as a vertical in the storyline. Drama, blah. And he said he will play my cardiologist. And we created an AI with AI already the film poster for this
Oh
vertical
my God, please show
I
me.
was showing you. With a typical,
Wait, wait.
with a typical vertical title.
Dr. Harpy, please. Oh
Yep.
my
You know, with a bit of rom-com style between the patient when she heals and she's a bit. Because I got cheated from my ex-husband while I was in the hospital. So it's a classic vertical. You know what
Oh,
I
you.
mean?
Oh my God. Yep, you've lived it, and you can
And
write.
from
Yeah, a little
experience.
bit of rom-com, you know, helping the patient feel better. And when she got dismissed from the hospital, and then they meet up again. And you know, you can do it all in the classic Vertigo way. And Deeks told me, yeah, I want to play your cardiologist, please. And I said, yeah, fine. And then we created this eye pose, and he really looks good in the doctors. Yes.
But then I told him we have to do the defibrillator in the real way, not putting on clothes, because if you will be shocked with the defibrillator on the clothes, you are dead.
I did
That's
not
not.
know.
Yeah, and you do, and in the real life, you don't shock it here. You put one to the heart and one to the side.
Okay.
So that would be a vertical more with details, you know what I mean?
I do. With a lot of the roles I play, nobody is going to tell me how something is done properly. So I try to prepare myself as best I can. You got to look out for yourself. And like with the Confessions of a Vegas Showgirl, it didn't feel like they had the expectation that I was going to do any actual pole dancing. That, it's like you'll just look good and you'll sort of, you can spin centrally around the pole, stuff like that. And I'm like, I've taken a couple pole lessons. It is a really athletic activity and it's incredible what
I have
these women can
a
do.
friend of mine is doing pole dancing, and she's so athletic. Holy moly.
And I view myself as an athletic woman. And I went to school, I had to take ballet, jazz, modern. I figure skated when I was a kid. Like I've done all the horseback rode. Like
Okay, you're a
and so
sportive one.
I'm ready for physical. And so there was a Trisha Faye who she acts in verticals. She is a professional pole dancer and coach, and I know her and she's lovely. And so I hit her up. I was like, let's get together. Let's figure out some things I can do repeatedly, because they're gonna take so many takes of me doing over and over and over. And just to get ahead of this so that I show up on set and I'm ready to go and I have some stuff to do. Instead of showing up and nobody has they
A
just didn't
clue what to do.
well they didn't expect, they just expected me to just sort of, just sensual it up. And so we did. And so I showed up prepared. I had a few things to do, some spins to execute. And I'm really glad I did that. And there was another vertical I did where I was a doctor. And there is a scene where somebody goes down and I rush to them and I have to d administer CPR. When I was a babysitter, I got CPR certified, but I don't remember,
Yeah,
So
it's normal.
before that day, I had to remind myself, I had to look up, maybe you check to see if their eyes are responsive, you open their mouth, you tilt their head up, all these things. And so I made sure that in that scene, I was actually doing what you actually would do to administer CPR. But that was completely on me, and it falls completely on the actor to prepare yourself because nobody's going to tell you. And it's not just verticals where you'll see people talking about heart surgery and they're holding up a brain x-ray. But in Hallmark movies sometimes, like there'll be a woman who is a photographer and she's holding an actual camera like this
It's
instead of
exactly the
supporting
same
the
with
lens.
all the cooking verticals lately. I published a cookbook. You know, I love to cook. And I did a lot of TV shows here in Germany where I cooked for 2-star chefs. So I would say I know how to use a knife properly. When I watched these cooking verticals and they were presented as the 2-star chefs and I don't even know how to use a knife properly, really?
The
Really?
handshake with the knife, and you have your fingers, thumb, and finger on the blade. Yep, I also played a chef in one, and I reminded myself how to properly hold a knife for that.
It's the same one with the sportive verticals. You know, there were lately some foot, for example, Tyler Scherrer did a ice hockey vertical for Candy Jor? Yeah, Candy Jor it was. And he is a really great ice skater. So the whole role
Hockey.
was, yeah, hockey. And the whole role was so believable because he was so speeding up on the ice and stuff like that. And then you see a football vertical where the lead doesn't even know how to catch the football right. And they are playing in the Super League, National, whatever. No. No. And it's the same with the BDSM verticals. I spoke to Ryan Larson, for example. He did two BDSM verticals and he told me the same like you did. He said, I wanna don't make fun out of it. I want to have a proper look in this scenery so that I can play it realistic and I don't have the fear that I'm making fun out of it, so that if people are watching who are in this scenery, say, eh, come on, what the hell he's doing in this shit way. And he told me that he got to some clubs and choruses and stuff like that to get used how to use this BDSM stuff properly in the scenery, that it looks believable, you know what I mean? And that's the thing, what I'm always saying, there are so small details, even in the hospital scenes, you know, which could be make this vertical in quality so much better. And it's not much to do to make this small points more realistic looking.
Well, I think the main thing that everybody agrees on is just better prep before we start shooting across the board. I mean, there's so many times where my fitting for my costume is the day before we start. And it's like, well, if you need to make adjustments or if something hasn't arrived, like we're starting tomorrow, or if something's the wrong size, you really can't change anything. So it's more like I'm just trying on what you have, but it doesn't mean we can adjust anything.
Do you have table reads often or not because of less time?
It depends. I think the most official table read I've ever had was on Runaway Princess Bride. Almost everybody was there on a Zoom call. We read through the entire script front to back together, and that was my favorite. And then sometimes the table read is really just the director saying, I want to look at this scene, and I want to look at this scene, and I want to look at this scene, and just sort of read through it. And it's like, okay. One vertical that they forgot to invite me to the table read.
Oh, shit.
So I just wasn't there. Well,
You're a natural talent. You don't need the table read.
I want the table read because, like, okay, I'm good at my job, hopefully, but I respect my job and I want to put in that extra time and connect with my cast mates and the thing. Oh my gosh. But
When
yeah.
did they recognize that they forgot you to invite? When you showed up on set on the next day and said,
No,
"Okay, here
it was the day of. So it was the day of. It was the day of a fitting and a table read. I didn't receive an email or a text or anything saying that this was happening on this day, and I had a big day. And I get a phone call in the afternoon from the casting director, who is a little frantic. And she's like, I think there was a mistake, and nobody told you when the fitting would be. And I said, you know what? I was wondering when that was going to be because we're starting to shoot in 3 days. When is it? And she's like, right now. And I'm like, and they said, when might you be free at all today? And I said, probably after 7:30 p.m. And they're like, let me see if we can make it happen at 9 or something. No, they had the table read as normal. I wasn't there. And the fitting they had to do like personally for me. Like everybody just came over to my place to do the fitting.
Not so
Because
bad.
nobody told me. But also, if somebody emails me that the fitting's going to happen, I'll reply and say received or see you there. So they thought they emailed me, but they also heard nothing from me either, which I hope would make somebody think, huh, that's weird. We haven't heard from her about this.
Shit.
But I do want to go back to what you said about BDSM, because did you see Falling for My Ex's Mafia Dad?
Tell me who were the leads.
Tim Stein and me.
This
Okay.
one. No, I'm so bad in the titles. I always have to know
For my
which.
own stuff, I'm like, did you see? And then I'm like, and I get the title, like I have to find it.
No, for me it's
Especially.
more important, to be honest, when I'm going to the app, I'm looking at the poster and I'm looking who is the cast, and that's more of the point, will I turn it on or not? To be honest, I never turned on a vertical because of the title. So, and when you turn it on once, you never see the title again, so
Oh.
I'm really bad in the
I've never heard of
title
that.
one. I watch straight from the beginning till the end. And when you're watching it, you never see the title again. So that's why I'm so bad in the title. If you tell me more about the leads or maybe the storylines, I'm fine with that. But this one I saw, yes.
Okay. So this one obviously it had the BDSM element. Though personally, like I know the director and I had worked with her before this one, I think she did a good job, making the camera sexy and not just shooting us doing stuff. It was more like a lot of close-ups and it's like the camera was trying to breathe with us a little bit. And we had a phenomenal intimacy coordinator, Shay Palak. She used to intimacy coordinate for opera. And she was so on top of it. She was so prepared. I had a Zoom call with her that lasted an hour and a half because we went down every single beat of intimacy in the entire script. She had all of them labeled. She had already talked to our director about exactly how they planned on shooting it and like what would be required of me, which is great because I was like, oh, this script has a bit more than I knew because I didn't get the script until after I was offered the role. So it was kind of, oh, and
Surprising out.
but with what the actor you would talk to was saying, because he was getting into the sort of the community, the BDSM community, and like how they actually treat this, so did our intimacy coordinator, Shay.
Yeah, that's
She
good.
knew how things actually are done, and also moments of consent and safe word and everything. And we tried to put that into the script as well. So it's sort of like if he's going to use handcuffs or if he's going to use a riding crop, he might sort of test it on my skin first, and I can get a feel for the item before details like that, I think, make a huge difference.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And sometimes I think it's respectful to the people out there who are real in this world. It's with the medicine stuff in the hospital. If a nurse or a doctor is watching a vertical and see such ridiculous detail, I never understood verticals. Yeah, they needed a brain surgery, blah blah. 3 days later, bless
Sorry,
you, 3 days
thank you.
later, they didn't even have a scar. I have here 39 stitches. Don't see it because of my hair, but my totally hair were gone and 39 stitches here when they opened my skull. If you need a brain surgery, you cannot tell me that it could be done without a scar. So these are the small details where it looks like a bit of ridiculous. And if you are, or I'm a prof at the university, I'm giving lecture. You know how this whole shitty prof students verticals.
I try to avoid those. And you know why?
No.
Because at my undergrad, that happened.
Really?
Yep. It was a big deal. It was right after I graduated, it all came out. that our head of the acting department was with multiple students inappropriate. And
Multiple students. Oh.
multiple, like it was a whole thing, and there was this big investigation that opened up. They did not treat the girls well. Some of them were my classmates.
Oh, shoot.
And like identities were not kept private like they were supposed to, all this stuff. And then he resigned. And because he resigned, the school just said, "Oh, okay. No more
He's gone.
investigation." They're like, "He's gone. We don't need to do this." And it's like, "Really? You're not gonna pursue this anymore just because he's just resigned." Wow. Okay.
As we see, a lot of real life is like a vertical, isn't it?
Yes.
So, we will see. One last question before I want to ask you the five question quickie I'm always asking. What improvement or yeah, let's say an improvement would you want to see in the vertical industry for this year? Or what changes?
I want to see the female character save the male character.
Oh, that would be great.
Because we're getting stronger women who are still being kidnapped. And we're getting more gentle and male characters that treat the female character better. We're getting that. But I want to see the female character come in and save the male character.
Yeah, true.
Mm.
The heroine, not the hero, the heroine in a vertical. Yeah, that's true. And I want to see more women, you know, more punching the
Yeah.
bad ones in the
Yeah, like the one where I was like groped at by five different male characters, like throughout the script, there was like, here's the scene where this guy tries to grab me, and here's the scene where this guy tries to grab me, and here's the scene where this guy, and it's different men throughout the script. I got to bite a man. Okay. I got to yell at a man, but I still was in those situations, you know, and that sucks. So yeah, more just a little less trauma, a little more strength, and I think it would be really cool if the woman gets to save the man somehow.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I would love to see that, truly. Yeah, that would be great. So, Brittany, at the end of every episode, I'm asking a five question quickie. Every time, the five same question. As I told you, I published a cookbook and I love to cook. So, what's your favorite dish? What do you like to eat?
Rigatoni. My nonna made it every day, every single day. Every time we came over, it was on the stove. We always ate it, and it smelled amazing. And so I could eat it every day. Like, I'm not gonna get tired of it.
Rigatoni, is my favorite noodle. Rigatoni,
Yes.
rigatoni al forno with baked cheese on it.
Rigatoni bolognese, or you know, like just I love, that's my favorite pasta noodle as well. And God, it's like I can smell it and nobody's
I think we are both starving after this
going crazy.
recording for rigatoni.
Oh gosh. Okay, what's the next question?
Yeah, we will do. I think we both will eat rigatoni latest tomorrow. You know, here it's near
Yes.
midnight. I cannot cook rigatoni now anymore, so
Too
I
late for
will
today.
drop that for a week, a proper weekend meal. Some rigatoni. Yeah. If I will make rigatoni this weekend, I will send you a picture, okay?
Please do. And I feel like now, anytime I have any pasta dish, I'll be like, "Hey, here, look at the pasta." There is a place
Rigatoni.
here that I recommend. It's called Osteria La Buca. And it's off Melrose by like Paramount Pictures or the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. Best pasta to me. I feel like their pasta is the greatest.
Yeah, but to be honest, nothing is better than origin handmade pasta
They
from
make
Italy.
it. Okay, I've been to
Yeah.
Italy and I've had the pasta, and yes,
You know
obviously.
what I mean? When you sit
But
in a trattoria and with some really original Italian gelato after it for dessert.
Oh, yeah, the gelato here is not as good at all, compared. But that pasta from that one place
Yeah.
is, I can compare it to Italy. I was just there in November and I
Okay.
came back.
Okay. That's
I'll
good.
tell you.
Okay. If I ever visit LA, you have to give me the address. I will check that. You know, here in Germany, it's great because we are not so near and close to Italy. We have a lot of great Italian restaurants here because
I
a lot
believe.
of the Italian people came over in the 60s as workers here in Germany. So we had a lot of really great Italian restaurants where the old nonnas are in the kitchen and cooking and stuff like that. That's really great here. I love it. Yeah. So, second question, do you have any comfort movie? A movie you maybe from your childhood or whatever you rewatched or you love to rewatch because it's so cozy to watch?
I do. Oh, okay. So there's like a handful of movies that I watch all the time, but one that's cozy, because some of the others no one would describe as that, is Kiki's Delivery Service.
Kiki's Delivery. I never heard about that.
It's a Hayao Miyazaki film through Studio Ghibli, which actually, Ghibli being the Italian word for like ship, which is actually pronounced Ghibli, but Hayao didn't realize it was pronounced Ghibli, so it's pronounced Ghibli for the studio, even though he got it from the Italian word for ship. So,
Okay, I have to look
fun.
that up.
But Kiki's Delivery Service, they did this gorgeous English dubbing through Disney. And when I was a little girl, I fell in love with this movie. And Kristen Dunst is, or Kirsten Dunst is the voice of Kiki. And this movie, I still watch it today and I cry. I think I cry because it's just so positive and uplifting and still relatable. She's a young witch who leaves home at 13 years old to just sort of have, every witch is supposed to do this, and you live somewhere and you develop your witch's powers and your special skills. You sort of come into your own by going away. And so she does. And every now and again, I feel like her because there's the scene where she loses her witch's powers. And it's like, if I can't fly, then who am I? Like, what am I? And so there are points, especially as an artist or an actor, where you feel off, like suddenly you've just lost it, or you don't know what the future holds. And there's a moment where you feel a lot like that. And in that movie, the messaging is so good to get you through
Okay,
those dips.
so I
Anyway.
see on weekend Kiki's Delivery and a rigatoni pot while watching it.
Yes.
Sounds like a plan. And what type of music do you love to listen?
Oh, everything.
Do you have some playlist for getting into character, as I was told of a few actors and
Oh,
actresses?
for sure. I've got, there was a role I did for a short film that I had to really get into my vulnerability, Brittany's vulnerability. And I made a playlist for that, and it had a little bit of the Cranberries on it, and it had a little bit of Imogen Heap, and it had a little bit of Fleetwood Mac. So that's all over the place already. That's like 70s, 90s, and early 2000s artists.
Okay, so mixed. Depends on your mood,
Very.
what you're listening to.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I'll go down to Al Boley, which would be the 1920s.
Okay.
And then, at the same time, it's like, oh yeah, like,
What's a song where you sing along and dance through your apartment or carpool karaoke?
okay, so I've done a fair bit of musical theater, and that's, I think, where my voice sits the best. So I will be singing musical theater, like Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder, or The Great Comet, or Urinetown the musical. So those are the things that I'll burst into song singing. Or Disney, because it sits well.
Disney, you can't sing always Disney songs.
But, because I feel like if I'm doing karaoke, like I will do Evanescence at some point, because her voice fits into that. So you can do that. And
Yeah, that's right. Evanescence is great. Yeah, makes sense.
And
Okay,
then I'll do
last.
something really dumb. Like I'll do a song that everybody's like, "Why? Why are you doing this?"
Why not? I love to sing ABBA songs on karaoke.
Oh, that's great. That was such a good idea. Let me add that to my playlist. I have a karaoke playlist to get pumped on the way
Yeah,
karaoke.
ABBA songs. Dancing Queen or Mamma Mia, holy moly, every day puts you in a good mood no matter what. That's
Or what's
good.
the What's
Well,
that one?
wait.
I know. What is that one? Hold on. Yeah,
Wait.
that's it.
Half past nine. Oh shit. Da, 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 da. Gimme the man of the midnight.
It's Gimme, Gimme, Gimme. Yes, so that's one of my favorite
Dee
ABBA songs. And I have
dee
that on my roller skating playlist.
Oh, that's cool.
So I've got a playlist for like roller skating.
When you're saying I love ABBA songs, everyone's so really? But everyone know exactly to sing along the songs.
Yes,
When
and it gets you.
everywhere ABBA plays, you get always
You
moody
can't sit
and sing
still.
along. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, okay. Next point. ABBA song while cooking rigatoni, then watching the Kiki's Delivery movie. Yeah, that's good. That sounds like a plan. Last two question. If I would come up to you and say, Brittany, I haven't watched any Vertical yet, which one of yours should I have definitely watched?
Mine.
Oh, now I have the Gimme Gimme song in the head. Holy crap.
Of mine? That's hard. Hold on. Let me stare at them all real quick so that I can not.
Can you see him in the background? Look.
Oh my goodness. Oh, his belly's up to the sky. Okay. I think I would say Runaway Princess Bride. If you've never seen a vertical before and you're just starting,
Yeah, it's a
I think,
smooth start. Yeah.
yeah, it's like it's satisfying, it's comforting, it's beautiful. I think that would be a great way to begin.
A
That's
bit
how I
classic
began.
trope, not too much.
Yeah. And
Yep.
it sort of eases you into like the style.
Yeah, true.
The
Makes
gateway
sense.
vertical.
The gateway. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's a good description. Okay, last question.
Okay.
Which genre you want to see more on you in the vertical?
Which genre do I want to see more or new?
Yes, or
Okay, or new.
play or whatever.
I think this fits in with what we were talking about is actually like mystery or rom-com, like actually a rom-com. I like mystery too. That's really interesting. Because we haven't had like a Miss Marple situation, you know? Oh, you don't seem satisfied with my answer.
No, the thing is, I was thinking there was one vertical on Viclou, Love, Lies and Alibis, that was kind of criminal mystery. It was with Robert Palmer Watkins and Grace Swanson, I think was the female. That was the only one I've ever seen kind of mysterious criminal. Nothing else. I think I have to go back to Kirby to our $1 million idea.
Yeah, I want to see a whodunit. So I want to see where it's an ensemble of characters. A murder happens, something happens, and we don't find out how it happened until the end, you know? And everybody
It's
could
not
have died.
clear after the 11th episode, after hitting the paywall, who was the murderer.
Yeah, it's so it's like the game, you know, it's like Clue, basically. So by the end, it will all be revealed, but it could be like there's so many
Yeah,
red
and everyone is so, I didn't
herrings.
expect that.
Yes, like, oh wait, why is she going in that shady room meeting with this person? Could it have been her? You know, like, so there's misdirection, confusion, all sorts of information that it's like, oh, I don't know, and then all will be revealed. I would love a whodunit.
We should do that. I would love to see also a parody about making verticals.
I know a few people who are cooking those right now, like just writing them.
Because
One of them,
there is so much stuff to do a parody out of making a
and fans would
vertical.
love it. You
Oh,
know, we would have
yes.
so much fun.
Yeah, it would be fun for the actors, fun for the audience. Yeah, we will work on that. But for now I have the Gimme Gimme song in the head and I'm starving
Oh,
for rigatoni. Oh, holy crap.
I will be playing ABBA in the car when I leave today. So,
Okay. Now I have to get it out of my head because otherwise I'm singing in my dreams, ABBA. That's not so good.
but
Brittany, I'm.
definitely,
Huh?
oh, imagine that you are roller skating and doing like a roller skating routine while you listen to it. It is so satisfying, roller skating to ABBA. Okay.
Roller skating to ABBA. No, I think I listen to it tomorrow in the morning when I walk through the forest, you know, then I can sing loud along because no one is listening, except all the birds and the games.
That's another nice thing about forests.
Yeah, you can scream, you
Singing.
can sing.
Yeah, my poor neighbors.
Maybe my dog will, what the heck, what's wrong with you today? But it's fine.
Or they'll just leave the room like, I have no intention.
Yeah, I don't know her.
Too
Sorry, I
much.
don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Brittany, I thank you so much for your time and recording with me. It was really a pleasure having you.
It was
And
a pleasure meeting you.
I wish you all the best for your Thursday today. And whenever I will eat the next time rigatoni,
You better send me a picture.
you are my you are, we are bonded in rigatonis now.
Rigatoni for life.
Rigatoni BFs.
Yeah. We should get special rings that look like the
Rigatoni
noodle. That look like
would
the noodle. Oh my God.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
We have to serious end now.
We are serious
It's
people.
yes, absolutely. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure. I wish you all the best. Bye, Brittany.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.